You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 20 tonight. A week off last week, summer holiday for myself, but I'm delighted to say I'm joined once again by John Breyer.
Well, good evening, Kieran. It's good to be back.
Good to be back, yeah. The tan has already faded away, the lovely Irish weather, but so much going on in the League of Ireland at the moment, John. The FAI Cup produced so many upsets last weekend, and that's where we'll start.
Indeed, yeah. We're going to start with Drogheda, who beat Shamrock Rovers 1-0. So first big upset. What do you think about that result? More pressure on Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, Rovers so far adrift in the league. I know they're starting to catch up in terms of the European places again now, and they were on a lovely little run.
Yeah, they had a good run, didn't they?
But the drive for 25, as we've been hearing for so many years now, I'm sure Rovers fans were really hoping this would be the year for them, but not to be. And Drogheda deserved winners on the night.
Yeah, I think they were helped by the early red card there for Lee Grace, Kieran. He brought down the Drogheda player, and Chris Lyons stepped up to score the penalty. Again, the double punishment.
Yeah, and that was a lovely move by Drogheda.
It was a
couple of
great
passes
move,
around
yeah.
the corner, and great to see.
Yeah, Paul Skinner actually kept them in the game with some decent saves.
Had a very good game, actually.
Yeah.
I had a little chuckle to myself when I was watching the highlights. Had a very good game, the former Longford man.
Yeah, I thought Aaron Green, he had a great chance to equalise when he hit the side net in. Did you see that one?
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, it could have been 2 or 3 nil. Keelan Dillon hit the post with a shot as well. So
yeah, another man that didn't pull up any trees for Longford, but has been putting in some mighty performances for Drogheda this season. So,
but I just thought overall very very flat performance from Shamrock Rovers, Kieran.
Even in the last couple of minutes, Drogheda had a couple of chances on the break to kill Rovers off. They missed out on them. So a very very disappointing night for Rovers, and we're going to speak to the man now that oversaw that victory. It's the Drogheda United manager, Tim Clancy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, our first interview of the night, and it comes from a man that oversaw one of the biggest upsets of the FAI Cup so far this season. It's, of course, the Drogheda United manager, Tim Clancy. Tim, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
How are you, lads? Good to be on.
So, Tim, I imagine, despite a league game coming up this weekend, I imagine you're still on cloud nine. A great victory for Drogheda United at home to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, it was a great night for everyone involved at the club, and especially for the players. Had a good season so far, and listen, we're right now at the important end of the season, so it's a good bit of recognition for their work all year, and listen, hopefully it gives us a bit of confidence going forward now to try and cement the playoff place.
And Tim, I was just going to ask you about that Shamrock Rovers match. You know, going into that, I mean, you're obviously big underdogs for it, but did you have the belief that you could beat Rovers?
We spoke to the lads, and we changed our formation a little bit and tweaked a few things. We needed to have a good night and everyone to play to their best probably, and Shamrock Rovers to have a little off night, and that's how it came about and unfolded on the evening. But at our ground, only Finn Harps have beaten us this year, and that was a 90th minute goal sort of against the run of play. So we know that if we can play with high energy to the best of our capabilities at home, we should be at least a match for or put up for these people anyway. Whether or not beat them, it'll be give Premier Division teams a good game there.
Yeah, and a lovely move, the build-up for the goal before the penalty decision, wasn't it?
That's it. We had plenty of legs in the team, because we knew that more than likely Shamrock Rovers was going to have a lot of the ball, and with the player they had, we needed to get people about the pitch, and William played as the advanced midfielder, and that's where he was in the team for us to get up to Chrissy Lyons and try and get beyond Chrissy, and that's exactly what happened for the goal.
Yeah, really good goal and a brilliant result. But I'm going to take you back to the start of the season, Tim, and it's your first managerial job. You know, you had pretty much a scratch squad to start with, because the squad was really, I was going to say decimated, but reduced after the relegation, pretty tight budget. So, you know, you tell me how you got your squad together and, you know, what you've done to get into this fantastic position that you're in the league.
Yeah, well, that was it. I got the job in the 5th of December, and it was literally, there was not one single player that was signed at the club. I got appointed, and then I literally had to get to work straight away, and by the time we got our little our strength and conditioning, our little coaching staff together, like, we had to get a little program out to the lads to try and get up to date or up to scratch in regards to fitness levels, because as you know, in the League of Ireland, it's a long off season. So this year we'd obviously be in a lot better position where you can get lads a programme from the day they're leaving to tick over. But we sort of started from scratch, and not knowing the league myself, only played in the Premier Division for 3 years there, that I wasn't aware of a lot of the players in the league, but I knew it was going to be very competitive compared to the last couple of seasons with Waterford having a lot of money last year and Limerick the year before. So we tried to get a team together, and we had a really good atmosphere among the group pre-season, and we took that into the first few games of the season, and things have gone pretty well so far.
Yeah, and some of the signings you made might not have been signings that had worked really well at other clubs. I'm thinking like of Keelan Dillon, was at Longford, didn't really pull up any trees, but he's doing great for you this season.
Yeah, we've had plenty of players. plenty of players who have come in and done really well. And I suppose we looked at the likes of even Chrissy Lyons. He had a rough time for last year at Shells. He had a bit of an injury for a lot of the season, a niggly one as well. It wasn't like a definitive, like a leg break or something like that. It was a problem, I think, with a trapped nerve in his shin and sort of causing him a lot of problems. And Chris looked after himself massively in the off season, and I suppose he looked at it as in it was a good opportunity to get back in playing regular football. And he's been fantastic this year. And the likes of Keelan's had to be patient as well with the game time that he's had, because we've had such a good start to the season, and when he has been called upon, he's been very good for me as well, and he's a brilliant lad around the place. But listen, we had to look as well at the under-19s league, and that's where we got Kieran Kelly from, who's a really good find for us. Conor Kane was there from last year, and Mark Doyle's an under-19 from last year as well, and that's more or less the core. Your group is a lot of the young lads, and if you can put experience around that, bring them on, that's sort of what we're looking at.
We had your chairman, Fiacre, on last week, and we've also spoken previously to Kevin Doherty, of course, the man that was at Longford previously as assistant manager, and both men spoke so highly of your talents and your efforts in your first job. How good of a start do you feel personally it's been at Drogheda?
Listen, I've had loads of help, which is a really good thing for me. Kev coming in was absolutely fantastic, because he has experience of obviously managing at Shells, and as you said there, he's in at Longford as well, so he has that experience, and it's invaluable for me in my first job, because no doubt there was plenty of times this season that I was going to probably make a wrong decision around, and Kev has sort of pulled me aside and said, what about this, that or the other, and obviously that's what we're there for, work as a team. And I suppose, like, coming into your first job, you're unaware of all the organising, and you're sort of dipping your fingers in everything to try and organise buses and venues and training grounds and whatnot. But I've had a lot of help from that, from Dermot McKenna at the club as well, who's helped me massively, who's probably made it a lot easier for myself. And listen, it's gone well so far, but we know that it's still a long way to go, even though there's only four games. But there's still 2 points between ourselves and second, and then there's only a couple of wins behind for the sixth place. So we know still a long way to go, and we're hoping that we can probably get a bit of momentum from last week, and if we can get a win this weekend, it's a big one up in Amundsea with yourselves and Galway. So it could be a big weekend for us.
Yeah, cup runs all nice and well, but I think the real aim was would be promotion. But I think the chairman was saying he's genuinely over the moon the level you're at. So you'd be hopeful though to win through the playoffs. Do you think UCD are out of touch now?
Yeah, I think UCD now, I think it'll be very hard to catch them. With four games left, they'd have only lost three games all season, so maybe four. It's going to be pretty hard for them to lose another three out of the last four now. That would be a huge collapse, and what Colley's done at UCD is tremendous. And listen, they've got through the cup against Pike Rovers there, and they got a good draw against CIE as well, so it's a good chance for Colley to go on a good cup run as well, which is well rewarding for them. And I think in regards to the cup, I think it's been excellent, because long for getting the result up in Sligo as well, and Finn Harris beating Bray. I think it shows how competitive the First Division is, that First Division Championship teams have knocked out Premier Division opposition. And that sort of tells you the standard of the First Division this year. It's been very, very competitive, and certainly we're happy enough where we are sitting in the league. But when I sat down in December with Fiacre and Dermot, I spoke and we said that if we could be competitive in every single game, that's the main thing, and we'd be happy enough with that. And so far, bar UCD beating us 2-0 away, I think we've been there and thereabouts in most games to get something out of it anyway.
Yeah, you'd be due a pay rise soon, Tim.
Well, I don't know if you get pay rises in the first division.
Well, listen,
things are tight in a lot of the clubs, but
the way the league's structured this year, obviously, it makes a real benefit to finish second in the league. So obviously, you'd be pushing for that then.
Yeah, listen, the playoffs is the aim. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, we'd be looking to finish as high up the league as possible, but we'll be certainly looking over our shoulder as opposed to above us, even though Finham's only 2 points ahead of us. We know that the Longford being 4 behind and Galway 6. That's more or less where we're looking. And listen, we've got to control ourselves. And if we get enough points to finish higher up the league, fair enough. But we've got to try and really make sure and get a couple of more big performances from ourselves between now and the end of the season to get ourselves into the playoffs. The chairman sort of said that if we could be competing for 4th place in the playoffs at the start of the year and be thereabouts for it, you'd be happy enough with that season. And that's where we are.
And finally, Tim, obviously that great win over Shamrock Rovers came off the back of the same week in the news about the new stadium. So do you feel there's a crest of momentum there now at Drogheda and you're hoping maybe you can push on, not just for the end of this season, but even next season, regardless of what division you may be in, that this could be the start of something special now for Drogheda United?
I hope so. I think it's an opportunity for the club to really take strides forward. We have to get more involved in the community. I think you know yourselves that being a provincial club like outside of Dublin, and I think you have to really buy into the community and get the local community behind you. And I definitely think all League of Ireland clubs, Premier Division included, could probably put more effort into and focus on getting a better relationship with maybe the schools or the schools or maybe local communities, and try and get more of a buzz about football in Ireland. And I think with a new stadium being announced and new facilities coming, it'd be a couple of years down the line, I think it's definitely an important part for Drogheda United to really make a conscious effort to try and build bridges with fans and local communities and local businesses, and they could nearly get something started there. That would be pretty impressive going forward.
Well, Tim, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the Aviva for the FAI Cup final in a few months.
Oh. That'd be nice. No problem, lads. Anytime.
Cheers, Tim.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So great to hear from the Drogheda manager, Tim Clancy, there. And just while that interview was airing there, John has given me a bit of a rollicking here for not giving him time to settle into the show tonight. I was just so eager after my holidays, John, to get back to it. But I'll let you announce the rest of the guests we have on tonight's show, of course.
Well, we're looking forward to speaking to the Bray manager, Gary Cronin.
Yeah, new man in a Bray, former Longford man, very popular in the Midlands here. So great to get Gaz on the show, and we'll be looking forward to speaking to him about the challenges he faces in his first managerial job at Bray.
We'll be talking to Longford Town's goal scorer of the weekend, Jamie Hollywood.
Yeah, match winner against Sligo, and that's the next fixture we're going to run through now for you in a moment when we continue our FAI Cup rundown. And finally then we'll have Galway United superfan Julian Canny on the show. Some big news regarding the proposed takeover of Galway, and obviously Longford taking on Galway in a huge promotion showdown this weekend in the First Division. But John, let's continue our FAI Cup rundown and the game you were at, Sligo Rovers 0, Longford Town 1.
Yeah, very deserved win this for Longford, Kieran. And the man that really caught the eye was Dylan McGlade. And he tortured the Sligo defence all night. He played really well. And it was his run down the left wing which created the goal. He got to the byline. He cut back in. And normally with Dylan, you'll see a shot. But he laid it back to Jamie Hollywood. And he didn't quite catch the ball well. Mm. But it seemed to go under Mitchell Beeney and in the Sligo goals.
Just from looking at the highlights, it seemed to be one of those types of shots where had he hit it clean, it probably doesn't go in. It's the little trickle, the little dribbler, and it's caught everyone by surprise.
Yeah, I still don't know how it's got under Beeney.
No.
His dad would have saved it.
Not again.
Yeah, again, I'm afraid. But look, to be honest, Longford were good value. Now, Sligo did hit the woodwork a couple of times, so, you know, they did have their chances, but in general, Longford had the better of the game. And
a couple of incredible saves by Mick Kelly on the highlights.
Yeah, yeah, there was one that actually came back off the post, but it was a fantastic save, yeah, so he had a really, really good game, and, you know, Longford overall deserved the win.
Yeah, and we'll be speaking about the draw for the next round shortly. Obviously, Longford Town pitched against their rivals in the First Division, Shelburne, but moving on, Dundalk last season's beaten cup finalists. They had a 3-0 win at home to Cove, but not as comfortable maybe as the scoreline suggests.
I don't know, Kieran. I think this was a pretty run-of-the-mill victory for Dundalk against Cove, and Cove didn't really offer too much against against Dundalk. Ronan Murray back in the goals, really much a tap-in, and you know, Cove's defence just there was a big gap between them and
not on the same level.
No, exactly.
But I think most people would admit, again, it was one of those performances from Dundalk far away from being on top gear, but getting three goals still, winning the game quite comfortably, as you said. So.
Yeah, and it was good to see Ronan Murray get a couple of goals. You know, he's been out of the side a little bit. Mm-hmm. So two goals for him. First one, tap in, really. I think I could have scored it, Kieran. Jamie McGrath got the second, and Murray again. Yeah,
McGrath's been impressive this season, but just obviously we were away last week, so we didn't get to mention the fact that Cove did turn Dundalk over down in St. Coleman's in the semi-final of the EA Sports Cup. So fantastic result there. I'm sure they didn't expect to go up to Oriel and get anything, but while we're just touching on that subject, John, I know you're not too happy about the decision to play the EA Sports Cup final at the Brandywell Stadium.
Yeah, and if I was Stephen Henderson, I would be fuming. You know, you work hard to get to the final of a cup, and you'd expect a neutral ground for me, but the fact is that, you know, they've got to go up to Derry. It's a massive journey for a start. Mm. And then they've got to go and play at the Brandywell, where Derry are so strong at home.
Yeah, I know Stephen Henderson had a bit of a tongue-in-cheek tweet up today, but I'd have to disagree with you on this one, John. I mean, at the start of the competition, the teams know it's going to be a decision between the home, and it's going to be the two finalists, one of their venues. It won't be a neutral venue. In terms of the two stadiums, the Brandywell, New Brandywell, is far and away the better stadium than Cove. And I know there's the argument that a final down in Cove could have done so much to reinvigorate that club and get the interest back down there. But at the end of the day, this game's going to be live on air. I'm sure they probably had an input on which was better for their TV facilities. In terms of the crowd, I don't think the people of Cove would sell out the final, whereas you're probably looking at a sold out Brandywell there. It's going to be a big occasion. I know it's a long journey for Cove, but I think in terms of the overall package, the Brandywell is the far better stadium and a much better host for the final.
Kieran, what harm would it have been in playing at the Showgrounds?
It's only the League Cup final. I don't want to diminish the prestige of the competition, but it's not the FAI Cup. I don't think a neutral venue would draw the same crowd. I'd almost guarantee this game will sell out with the Brandywell. I know a lot of people were mentioning even the City Hall Stadium as a potential host for this one. We all know City Hall is one of the best grounds in the First Division, but the other side, there's no cover on it. Again, TV facilities are as strong as the Brandywell. That's a brand new stadium. Good surface up in the Brandywell as well, whereas St. Coleman's will have issues in that regard. So for me, no brainer. I think it's a fine venue for the final.
I just think it's tough because Hendo's going there with basically one arm tied behind his back to start with.
Yeah, look, after going and beating Dundalk, it may have been Dundalk C team in all fairness, but it's a fantastic achievement for Cove. Their first National Cup final. I'm sure everyone, bar the Derry people, will be rooting for them as the underdogs in that final. So it's harsh luck on them to go out and beat Stephen Kenny's side and then have to go and travel to Derry. But if they can go up there and produce an upset, nobody will be talking about where the final was. So, you know, we're hoping it's going to be a good game. As we said, it's going to be live on Air Sport. But no, for me, it's a no-brainer in terms of the venue for the final.
We'll agree to differ on this one, Kieran. But we'll move on to Cork City, who their second string was way too strong for Home Farm. Goals from Josh O'Hanlon to start the ball rolling.
Seemed to have a very strong game, Josh O'Hanlon.
Yeah, he played pretty well, actually. I felt a little bit for the Home Farm keeper. You know, he pulled off a great save and then, you know, he spilt across and, you know, it was just...
I don't think there was any surprise in the result here. The big surprise to come out for it was the Home Farm goal, which came from the halfway line. It's probably the goal of the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I mean, he lobbed Cherry there from inside his own half. It was a super goal, but...
And I know the goal scorer had the tweet up last night when Soccer Republic was on. He quoted it and he said, "Look, ma'am, on the telly." So a great moment for him and a great moment for the Home Farm supporters. But in the end, very comfortable for Cork.
Yeah.
And I think everyone was hoping Cork and Dundalk would meet in the next round, but it's not to be.
No, look, while we're talking about Cork, they obviously played in Europe against Rosenborg here, and I don't know if you saw the match, but I thought Cork started well enough. McNamee forcing a decent save, but you know, again, there was a couple of incidents. The two goals to me showed the difference between where we are as a league compared with other leagues, and you know, it was poor goalkeeping for the first one. You know, he was beaten at the near post. McNulty. And then the second one, you know, it just came from a really, really good move from Rosenborg. And, you know, you'd wonder whether Cork are, you know, capable of doing something the same.
I don't think so.
But yet again, sadly, you're on the bench, Kieran. It's just so frustrating for me because I know what a good player he is. And he just doesn't seem to want to pick him.
Usually whenever there's an Irish team involved in Europe, that's where we always start our shows. But we were talking off air about this one and we just feel so underwhelmed with the performances in Europe by the Irish sides this season. Obviously, Dundalk did get through a round, but then very disappointing performance out in Cyprus. Cork here, I think that was probably the scoreline most people expected. With the second leg coming away from home, I don't think anyone gave them a chance of this one, and it's been disappointing all around.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that one's over by the shouting, I'm afraid. So that'll be the end for League of Ireland and Europe this season.
We'll move on to the next FAI Cup game, John. It was an Inchicore derby. It was Inchicore against St. Pat's. And despite the 5-0 scoreline, this was a very tight game up until the second half.
It was, and there was a red card in the... it was 0-0 at half-time this week, Aaron. But early second half, Inchicore defender gets a red card. And that really, really changed the...
Thoughts on the decision? Slightly harsh?
Maybe, but I think it's probably the right decision. I feel for the lad because... You know, it's a real big stadium and a show for them, and you know, to get sent off, you know, and especially when your team was doing so well.
Yeah, you would have loved to just seen what would have happened but without that red card.
With 10 men, you know, they're not really going to have a chance against a Premier team, and that was the way it was. And Pat steamrolled them after that. There was a bizarre happening for the penalty.
I was just going to bring this up with you. Yeah, it's probably the most entertaining moment of the match, I suppose. Pat's had a player ready to step up and take the penalty. He substituted, up steps the former Limerick man.
Clifford,
he's about to take it. And then the substitute just come on, is of course Conan Byrne. He's the penalty taker. He takes the ball away from Clifford and he slots it away easily.
Absolutely. A bit of a bizarre one, but so in the end, fully deserved.
Yeah, I know Conan's been having a bit of fun on Twitter himself with that one. So a good moment there for the League of Ireland veteran. We'll move on to the next one, John. It was a 7-0 defeat at home for Wexford against Bohemians. Obviously, this was a huge gap in standard-wise. You have Wexford, who are second bottom in the First Division, against a Premier Division side. But I've brought up Wexford's performances a number of times on this show.
You're
going to
get us more complaints here, are you?
No, I'm just... Hear me out.
Okay.
I've brought up the performances a lot. I got a little bit of stick for it after their recent result against Drogheda, where they got that fine draw, the 0-0. And then I said, well, let's see, can they follow it up? And they've gone out and they've lost their next league game, and then they go out and get absolutely battered 7-0 at home in the cup. I think it says a lot about Wexford this season and in the last couple of seasons since they've rebranded to Wexford FC. Again, I'd have questions over the sustainability of this club going forward.
Kieran, I have two words for this. Totally outclassed, I'm afraid. There was only one team in this match. And look, it was good for Bowes. It was almost like a training match for them.
I don't think you would have seen a non-league side put in a performance as bad as this Wexford performance was.
Well, hang on. We haven't got to the Blarney Army yet. So,
excluding the lovely folk at Blarney.
Yeah, but 7-0 here. I suppose from a Bowes point of view, it was great for them to see Dinny Corcoran get a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Always Stokes among the goal scorers, and a trademark Keith Ward free kick.
Yeah, those two lads you mentioned there, Stokes and Corcoran, they're quite in need of a bit of form and a bit of confidence, so important for them. And I'm sure Bowes are looking at the FAI Cup now as something they can progress quite far in. We'll move on to the next Dublin club that had a fine win, and it was Shelburne at home, 4-0 against the bottom side in the First Division, the miserable Athlone Town.
Yeah, poor old Athlone beaten again, I'm afraid. But this Shell side does look a lot better than it was earlier in the season. The additions of Kavanagh and the likes of Greg Morehouse, they've made it a really strong
looking... Kavanagh, Moore, and Morehouse, they're three Premier Division players.
Yeah, exactly. So it's bound to strengthen them. And they look a very, very good outfit at the moment.
I mean, they're scoring goals for fun at the moment. And David Sullivan is nowhere to be seen. So that says quite a lot about Shelburne this season. And again, they're going to be a side now who are going to be looking to advance as far as they can in the FAI Cup. But of course, Longford will be looking to have a say in that in the next round. The league leaders, UCD, 2-0 over Pike Rovers.
Yeah, this was pretty close for a while. And Pike made a good effort of this one, but it was Timmy Molloy and Connor Davis making the difference. UCD be hoping for a league and a good run in the cup as well.
Yeah, Pike have great pedigree in the junior football, but I remember when Longford played them a couple of seasons back in the FA Cup, they absolutely annihilated them at City Colin Stadium, and I thought they were one of the worst sides that I had seen in a very, very long time. I know they were missing a lot of players on that day, so I'm not sure how much their side has changed since then, but a fine win for UCD. They've done the job and they're through to the next round, and again they're going to be a side now from the first division that'll be looking to go as far as possible. Next fixture up is the El Tráfico. Dublin Bus 1-0, they lost out to CIE Ranch.
Yeah, the bus was late. It was a very late winner for the Ranch CIE. Dean O'Brien with the late winner, but great result for them. Puts them in the next round.
And they've punched their ticket into the next round.
Oh, Kieran.
Skerries Town defeated 4-1 at home to Waterford. But the great sight from this game was the Skerries Ultras letting off plenty of smoke bombs to flares over the far side.
Yeah, like a bit of they'll be sending the fines out, won't they, for that one. But look, one
great to see it generate such interest, though, and a bit of magic in the FEI Cup, even though the result didn't go their way.
Kieran, I love it. I love to see these non-league teams do well. And they didn't do too bad, but look, experience told. Noel Hunt with a hat-trick.
Exactly, yeah. And he's I was watching the game recently against Cork, and he looks extremely fit, I have to say, which was probably one of the question marks you'd have about him coming back into the League of Ireland. But he looks to be in very, very good condition, so hopefully he can end the season strong now for Waterford. But let's go on to those folks that we've mentioned before. Blarney, this was a record breaking game, but not in a good sense. They lost 2-12 to Derry, record in sense of Derry becoming the first team to score 12 in the FEI Cup, and it was the highest aggregate score ever in the FEI Cup.
Yeah, total mismatch this one. I tell you what, how Sligo wish they'd still got Ali Roy. He just keeps banging the goals in, 4 in this one, Kieran.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's really playing well at the moment.
There was no highlights of this game on Soccer Republic, I don't think, was there?
No, but we will cover it as we cover everything.
Well, yeah. We did have a couple of tweets into our account today at Between Stripes, folks, if you want to give it a follow. A lot of criticism this week for Soccer Republic. We've defended them quite a bit on this podcast over the season. They do get a lot of stick. Some of it is quite unfair. And as we said, we would be lost without a weekly highlights League of Ireland show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some of the highlights packages, I know you were at the game at Sligo and you felt that the highlights for the Longford game were just totally disproportionate with the actual events of that game.
It almost seemed like a totally different game they showed. You know, they showed the one Longford attack, but Longford were the better team.
Yeah, we'll be speaking about the Bray Finn Harps game in a moment, but I know I've seen our good friend Nigel Hegarty. He was basically saying the same thing about their game, that the highlights package was disproportionate to the actual events of the game. And then you have the likes of this game that wasn't even shown. So a poor effort from Soccer Republic this week. We'll move on to another game that was the Maynooth game. Maynooth.
I don't think so.
2-0 winners against Leeds.
They could have done with that man Bielsa, couldn't they, in charge at the other Leeds, because they're flying over in England.
Have you caught any of his interviews since he's taken over?
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll have to get him on here if we can.
Yeah, he's having a go at speaking the language, and I love the fact he's sitting there on a bucket on the sideline. Amazing. He's just absolutely
proper
brilliant.
Throwback.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But a good win for Maynooth there, and we're hoping to have someone from Maynooth on in the next couple of weeks. We'll move on to the next one. It was Newmarket. They lost out 2-1 to Cabinteely.
Yeah, Newmarket. Joe Doyle and that man Luke Clucas seems to be scoring a few at the moment.
Yeah, having a decent season is Clucas.
Yeah, so but Cabo can be up and down, but they'll be glad they got over that banana skin.
Yeah, especially considering their away form in the league hasn't been great, so to go away to a non-league side, probably looking at it as a potential banana skin, and they get the win, they're through to the next round. That's all that matters for Cabinteely. In terms of Galway United, they were 4-0 winners away from home against Wexford's North End.
Yeah, Owen McCormack with a hat-trick. He seems to really hit strides as well. He's scoring plenty of goals at the moment. He's certainly made up for the lack of Danny Furlong in that team. But I don't think 4-0 tells it all, that one. I think from what I heard, North End played pretty well.
Another non-league side against the League of Ireland side. It was Cock Hill. They were at home to Limerick, and a 2-0 win for Limerick.
Yeah, we've been up there, actually.
We have, Cock Hill
a few years ago. It's a nice little ground, but... yeah, not too big a journey for Limerick, although it's still a difficult
place to go, if you remember, John. It's quite the pitch. It's a proper old fashioned non league pitch. It can be quite slow and heavy, and in terms of Cock Hill's style of play, very direct, very physical. I know Longford only scraped by them in 2015 and were rewarded with a semi-final against Dundalk. We all know how that played out, but Limerick are through to the next round anyway.
Yeah, they'd have been desperate for that because they got battered the previous week, did Limerick, so it could have been a potential banana skin, but at least they're through that one.
And now the final game from the FAI Cup this weekend was Bray 1-3. They lost out at home to Finn Harps. This was, of course, Gary Cronin's first game in charge.
And they started off so well, did Bray. You know, a lovely neat ball through to Jay Pender, who opened the scoring there, 1-0. But it was late on when Sam Todd forced extra time. And then Bray seemed to lose out of...
seemed to run out of steam.
They did, yeah. Michael Place and then Borg getting the third, so to see Bray off, and that's just capping a very, very disappointing season for them all round.
Look, it's been quite a long run through there with all them fixtures, so we won't spend too much time speaking about this one. What we will do, though, is we'll bring you an interview now with the new Bray Wanderers manager, Gary Cronin. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to be joined on the line now by the new man in the hot seat at Bray Wanderers Football Club. It's, of course, the former Longford Town assistant manager, Gary Cronin. Gary, welcome to the show.
Kieran, how you doing?
Gary, first of all, congratulations. I think it came as a surprise to many, but you're the new man in at Bray, as I've said. Your emotions on receiving the call?
Yeah, it was a surprise to me. When I say a surprise, obviously, I mean, football, I don't be proud of trying to work on football, but, you know, I got the phone call. It was a nice phone call to get from Niall, and we met, and we met a couple of times before agreeing to take on the job. So, yeah, I was delighted to get the call. I was delighted to meet him. Very enthusiastic chairman. Obviously, this is new to him, and there's a project in place there to try and make things a little bit better down at Bray Wanderers. So, obviously, being a former player and so on, I was delighted to take the opportunity.
As you mentioned there, you're on your pro licence and you're looking actively to get a job in football management. So when the call came, was it a big decision to make?
Not in this particular instance. There had been other things that came up, you know, and it was a bit of a decision to make on it, you know, whether it fit right for me or not, and some of them didn't. And this particular one, obviously, with the new ownership, that's because I feel the club needed that change. That's my own personal opinion now. And you know, with the new manager or the new man in charge, it was a no-brainer for me, because for me, it's not as if I'm going to walk into a job that's, you know, ready for me. All the work is done, and you know, you just take over here. You know, most managers starting out have to take a gig that's a bit of work involved. Which, to be honest with you, that's what I want. You know, I want to put my own stamp on something, and this was a great opportunity to do that. And Niall has given me a great chance to do that. So, yeah, I think it's a good fit for both of us.
We had Niall O'Driscoll on our most recent show. What sort of dealings have you had with the new owner, and are you looking forward to working with him?
Absolutely, yeah. And the first two meetings, he's a very infectious person. You know, I've seen him or I've heard him on the show and seen him on other podcasts, and you know, he's very excited and enthusiastic about what's ahead. He's definitely a football man. Obviously, being so long with St. Joseph boys, you know, you can tell that's in his blood. But look, we spoke. We just had to make sure we were on the same page in relation to our values and how we see developing young players and mixing them with experienced players. And you know, I just wanted to make sure that the club are going to have a steady ship for the next few years. And that was the main thing for me. And once I got that from him, you know, I can only take what he said to me, which I do believe. He's put a lot of effort and obviously money to get into that situation, so I do believe he's the real deal in that respect for running the football club. And so look, I'm just delighted to get the opportunity found to get dig my teeth into something new.
And in terms of this season, obviously most pundits now would say that Bray are going to get very difficult to stay up. Obviously you're going to try your best to change that, but was there a goal set in terms of this season?
Look, I mean, once you're mathematically able to try and stay in the league, the goal is to try and achieve that. And as difficult as it looks and may be, I mean, when Limerick beat Waterford, and I saw that result, that was nothing to do with me. I had no emotion towards that because at that time I didn't think I was going to be Bray Wanderers manager. But that was a killer blow for Bray because of widening the gap to 9 points. It's going to be difficult to claw back. But, you know, a lot of people say to me, listen, you're preparing for next season and so on outside football, and yeah, that may be the case, but for me, as a football person, any football coach or manager that goes into any job, you prepare for the next game, and that's what we're doing. We're preparing now from this evening on for the rest of the week for Dundalk. And when you go prepare for football, you prepare to get a result out of the game, you don't prepare to lose. So we're going to do that every week and see where it takes us, you know. So, you know, it's difficult on the squad because, you know, obviously we know what happened before and players have left, and there's a lot of young, really enthusiastic kids there that want to make a career in football, which is great. But obviously at this stage of their career, you know, for first team football, you know, it's going to come sooner than they probably would have expected, but that will only start them in the long term. So look, we'll see where it takes us. We're prepared to try and get a result out of every game, and if that's enough, brilliant, you know, to be open top bus for us if that's the case. But if it's not, we'll deal with that when it comes.
We'll speak about your next two league games in a moment, but obviously the first game was at the FAI Cup at the weekend against Finn Harps. Disappointing, I suppose, to go to a first division side, not maybe the ideal start there.
Yeah, well, look, it's obviously not ideal to lose any game, and it's disappointing. The lads are disappointed in the dressing room. I was disappointed. It would have been nice to get a win in the first game, but I was really impressed with the energy, particularly in the first half and up to the hour, and the effort. And we were 1-0 up, and you know, we did give a sloppy goal away from our point of view from a long throw, which we had discussed. That, you know, we all know Finn Harps, they're very strong on set pieces, and they put you under an awful lot of pressure there. So that's what happened. They got the equaliser. And look, they just had more in the tank for extra time, to be perfectly honest with you, Kieran. And good luck to them. I watched them over the last couple of games. They have a definite system in place. I think you might have seen that yourselves. They have a definite system they've been working on for a long time over the last 6 or 7 games. They've had a great run in the first division. Yeah, they're a first division side at this moment in time. And Brayer Premier side. But, I mean, you look at Harps, to be a very, very strong prospect if they make the playoffs, which I expect them to do after looking at them the other night. Probably a little bit short now to win it because UCD are in a very strong position, but if anyone wants to catch them, it'd be Harps. So look, they could be a strong side even if they're playing Premier next year. They'd be hard to beat, anyone to beat. So disappointing, but look, we just move on to Friday's game against Dundalk, and we'll take it from there. Would have been nice to win the first game, but sure wasn't to be.
Perhaps it was a stroke of revenge for Finn Harps. Of course, yourself, you oversaw a win over Finn Harps as Longford Town. You stepped in for Tony Cousins when he was suspended in a famous FAI Cup tie up in Donegal. So
I knew you'd bring that up. yeah, that was sort of, you know, when Tony was suspended, and I was on my own in the dugout for it. That was probably my first time on my own. And the replay up there was a fantastic night because we won on penalties. Martin Deedy scored a great penalty to win it, actually, if you remember. But yeah, that was nice for us. I'm sure once they got the replay in that particular game, they might have expected to take us up there. But we done great to get through on that one. But sure, look, come here, you know what Oddie's like. Revenge wouldn't have been on his mind, I don't think, but I'm sure he was allowed to get through to the next round. But we just have to put that behind us now.
I seem to remember them absolutely battering the Longford goals that night, and nothing would just go in, and then they go out on penalties.
I think Kevin McHugh hit the post at one stage. It was a scramble. And look, come here, of course, you know, in any cup tie, generally you ride your luck sometimes. So that particular night was fantastic for us to get through because, you know, I think we were down bodies and all on the replay. But would have been nice to have the same type of results. I might have saw a penalty in the back of my head when we were going to extra time the other night, but sure, luck, it wasn't to be. And we just move on. We move on to Friday night against Dundalk.
Yeah, as I said, we'll touch on that Dundalk game now in a moment. Just finally, on your spell with Longford, obviously we have a lot of Longford listeners, so we'll bring it up. Well remembered by the Longford fan base. Obviously you were a player there, you were assistant manager there, caretaker manager for a short while. Good memories?
That's an understatement. That's I've spent 10 years at that football club at Longford Town, and absolutely great memories, you know. And I've been through probably full circle with disappointing times, tough times where you're not finishing great in the league, you know. And then you started progressing, and then obviously we won the first division. We've had good cup runs, so we've had the good and the bad. The playoffs, they were unbelievable nights in the playoffs, quite ecstatic on some of the playoff nights. And then to Kevin O'Connor's goal actually ripped our heart out then as well that night. So I have unbelievable memories of Longford Town that obviously we'll never forget. But what's happening there at the moment is really good things happening. I know Neil's a good guy, and he's doing a great job there. So look, it's been a fantastic football club to me. I've done all my coaching badges throughout Longford Town. I can only be grateful, obviously, to the chairman and the board and the people who are there. They're great people. So the supporters have been fantastic. You know, I've got great support. And particularly, I noticed that really, you know, when I took the caretaker job, obviously, to even the time before as well, last season when Tony left, the support was great, you know, and that's what you need, particularly when you're going into situations like that you haven't experienced before. And I got that from the Longford people. But, you know, that's what I expected because they're, you know, good people. So, great football club, fantastic memories.
Well, speaking of experience, I don't think there's going to be a better experience for yourself as a new manager within the league than coming up in your next two home games against Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers. You must be absolutely relishing this prospect.
Yeah, I mean, you want to play in games that are against the best teams and try and, you know, pitch your wits against you know, best coaches and so on. That's what you want to try and do. But look, it's great for the players. You know, some very young players in that squad that wouldn't have played against Dundalk. Obviously, we've good experienced players there as well. So I know what it's all about. But really looking forward to Friday. They give us a much different prospect to, obviously, Friday's game against Harps. And obviously, it'd be a different type of training towards that, you know. So, look, I'm going to do our best between now and Friday to put a side out in the park that's going to compete against Dundalk and get a result. We're not going out there just to try and... you know, people we think keep a score down. There's nothing like that. You know, we want to go out and try and be hard to beat and try and create chances like any coach would. You know, I don't think of any coach that actually wants to go out there and not win a football game. So it's not impossible. So you look at Cove, look what Stephen done down in Cove in the EA Cup semi-final. You know, Dundalk would have 100% wanted to get the final. No club doesn't. So they've done a great job down there. They got the 1-0 result. Yeah, obviously in the FAI Cup, they lost the that toy, but listen, it's doable. You know, you just have to prepare it a certain way and try and get the effort on the night. So we'll try our best on that one to try and get something out of the game on Friday.
Well, as a lot of our listeners know, I go to a lot of Dundalk games, and I was there when Bray held Dundalk earlier in the season, but I won't be there on Friday, so you're not going to have any lucky charm. But just
I'll give you a few quid.
Just a final question, Gary. Obviously, there's a couple of players I think you already know in the dressing room, especially from your time at Longford.
Yeah, and it's actually great having those in the dressing room. You know, you would feel, well, I'd have the respect from, obviously, Reese is in there and Jay Kelly's in there as well. And I've worked with Jair Pender before, obviously, at Longford. And, you know, you have the respect as a coach, and which that can be affected with the rest of the group. You know, obviously, players will ask what you like and so on. But sure, look, come here, they'll get to know what type of person I am, what type of manager I am, and what type of demands I make from players, both young and experienced. But we just need a together group between now and the end of the season. But yeah, for a manager to go in to have players that he's worked with before, who are good lads, is definitely a bonus, and it sort of gets you off on a better foot, you know. So yeah. They were good. Listen, Reese was there, won the league with us at Longford. I know what Reese can do, and I work with Jake as a player as well, and a coach. So it's good to have those lads in the dressing room.
Well, Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. John would have loved to have been here for this interview, but obviously we have to try and slot you in as best we can. So on behalf of myself and John, we want to wish you the very, very best of luck with Bray, and maybe somewhere down the line there might be a nice cup tie between Longford and Bray maybe next season.
Ah, look, that would have been nice. It would have been nice this season. Obviously, we had a great win for the town down in Sligo. I think Sligo want to avoid long for next year in the Cup. look, regards to John, sorry I missed him. I'm sure I'll come across him again, Kieran Norrie.
You didn't miss much. Thanks very much, guys.
Come on, thanks, Kieran.
Cheers.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
So the draw was made live on Soccer Republic for the second round of the FAI Cup, Kieran. It showed some good draws, and Maynooth's reward was a trip to Cork. So that's going to be a real tough one for them.
Yeah, big headline game there for Maynooth. So maybe they would like to have hosted, but I'm sure the opportunity to go and play in Turner's Cross is a bit of a carrot for their players.
Yeah, fantastic for them. They'll have a good day out there. Dundalk host Finn Harps.
I don't think the Harps fans are too happy with that draw.
No.
Judging by their social media anyway.
Yeah, that's a tough one for them, all right.
We won't be going into detail too much on these ones, John, because we will be having an FAI Cup special when this round comes around in a couple of weeks' time. And we're hoping to have as many of the non-league players, managers, etc. on that show, just like we did last season. I know that was a big hit with our listeners. So.
Yep. Indeed. So it was CIE Ranch again. They won the El Tráfico, and their reward is a home tie against UCD. Derry will host Pats. That's an exciting one.
A rerun of a previous final, so that should be a bit of a belter, and they've had some very tasty league games this season already.
Informed Drogheda are going to host Waterford, so it's a potential upset there, Kieran. as with Galway hosting Bowes. Limerick will host Cabinteely. And then finally, Longford will host Shelburne.
And that's going to be another tasty one after the recent meeting in Tolka Park became quite heated. But as I said, we'll have an FAI Cup special in a couple of weeks' time, and we will go into much more detail on those games. But it's that time of the week again, folks. It's the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. And John, I'm not going to lie to you. I was in the holiday mode before or after the last show. So before I set off, I didn't bother to actually tally up our scores. So I'm just going to leave it a 7-1 to yourself.
Well, that's a bit of a bonus for me, since I predicted Limerick to win last week and they got battered 5-0 at home. So
maybe I should have, but look, I don't think there's any hope of me coming back. So I'll leave you with that one.
You've run out of weeks, I think.
Yeah. We'll start with the Premier Division games, John. Okay. Dundalk against Bray. Gary Cronin, we've heard from him on the show. First game, or second game in charge, first league game. Obviously, Bray got a draw in the first game of the season. Is there any chance of something similar this time round?
Not a chance, I'm afraid, Kieran. Away win for me.
Yeah, I've gone the same.
Yeah. Derry host Waterford. That's quite a tricky one to predict at the moment.
Yeah, two teams that are up and down in the league. Two teams that would have had huge aspirations for Europe, and it's starting to slip away from them both in recent weeks. But obviously, Waterford are in a much more better position. But they are looking over the shoulders of Shamrock Rovers. I suppose from a Waterford perspective, they're going to be hoping Rovers' cup elimination might just give them a wobble in the league. Always a tough trip up to the Brandywell. But for me, I just don't feel like things are right. I know they got that huge cup win, but they weren't up against much opposition. I thought Waterford were unlucky in their recent game against Cork, and they've been unlucky in a lot of their recent games. I'm thinking back to the game against Rovers as well. I know Doofus is having a bit of a quiet time at the moment. Akinade not scoring as many goals as you would like. So those type of players have to eventually click. I'm going to go for a Waterford win here.
Oh, you're right. Okay, well, I'm going to go for a draw with that one, just on the basis of Derry being Derry at home. So
yeah.
Limerick hosts Sligo.
Again, difficult one to call.
It is, because both are poor at the moment.
Yeah, as I said, it's a difficult one to call. Limerick threw in the cup, Sligo out. But a lot of the time, you don't really see a bearing on cup runs in terms of league form. I'm going to call this one a draw. I think there's not a lot between the two sides, but with Limerick been at home, I think they're playing the slightly better football. Could be a Limerick win, but I think Sligo know if they were to lose this one, the pressure would be really on. They'll probably dig in, be quite defensive, and play for the draw.
Yeah, for me, I think it's going to be a poor match, 0-0 for me.
Yeah. That means it's going to be a 5-4.
Yeah, all day. Shamrock Rovers host Bowes. This is an interesting one. Shamrock Rovers we're on a decent run. They're pushing for Europe. They're pressing Waterford.
This one really pushed me in terms of a prediction, because, I mean, Rovers, surely they're due a win in this derby game. They've had such an awful run recently against Bowes. Eliminated from the cup, surely Stephen Bradley's going to be looking for a reaction from his players, because I know the fans haven't taken that well. Bohemians league season's kind of petered out now. They could probably do with a couple of more points just to be sure they're not going to get dragged into anything. But for me, I just always feel Rovers, they build you up to let you down. And for me, I'm going to go with a Bowes win yet again.
Okay, I'm surprised with that one, because I'm going to go for a Rovers win. But we're begging to differ
on that
one.
They've just burnt me too many times in these derby games recently. I just feel like they haven't got it in them, and you know, it's great to see this youth coming through. I know they brought a 15-year-old off the bench in that cup defeat to Drogheda, but it's trophies that Shamrock Rovers are built on. They need to start performing better in the leagues, better in the cups. And for me, I just feel like the season now is going to peter out after that cup elimination. That's why I go for a Bowes win here.
Finally, Kieran, Cork host St. Pat's.
Pats are another one of those sides. I described them as flaky this season, very inconsistent. Cork, maybe not the most delightful team to watch in terms of their style of play, but you know what you're going to get from them, and I think you're going to get a home win in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think St. Pat's season, they really missed Geordie Bolt this season.
Yeah, hugely.
You know, I know they brought Toner in, didn't they, but they just haven't looked...
Up front as well. I know Christy Fagan's out injured at the moment, but he wasn't producing the same type of performances that we've associated with him down the years. Keegan came in, he looked like he was going to maybe replace him there and pick up the baton, but that's filtered out. So it's been a disappointing season for Pats. A lot of players have come in and out the side there. I think, again, Liam Buckley, you just start to wonder, has he done all he can with St. Pat's?
Yeah, you just wonder if he knows his strongest team as well. Yeah. You're talking about a lot of players playing for
Pats. What is the goal for St. Pat's going forward? Surely they're a club that should be pushing for Europe, but they don't get the biggest attendances. I'm sure their budget in terms of the likes of Rovers, Dundalk, Cork wouldn't be anywhere near it. So it's hard to know. Maybe they are now just going to end up in the next couple of seasons, been a mid-table side, but you'd like to see more from them, because they are a great team to watch. But for me, I think the steel of Cork here is going to make a big difference, and I'd go with a home win.
So we'll look at the first division now, Kieran, and it's hotting up with just four matches to go with these in the first division. Athlone host Finharps.
Away win.
Away win, yeah. Cabinteely against Drogheda.
Yeah, Cabinteely obviously got a surprise win over Drogheda and Akem at Stradbroke, and that's where Cabinteely have picked up the vast majority of their wins this season.
They have the capability of doing that, don't they?
It's such a difficult pitch up there, as we've mentioned, but I think Drogheda, they just have so much momentum about them at the moment. The new stadium news, the cup win, great buzz around in terms of what Tim Clancy is doing there at the club. Reminds me a little bit of Neil Fenn when he came into Longford at first, only he seems to be having even more success than Fenn has had at Longford so far. So for me, I've got to go with a Drogheda win.
I agree. Now, Wexford host Shells.
Yeah, well, that's got to be an away win, hasn't it, John? Wexford, absolutely appalling this season. They'll probably go and get a nil-nil again just to rub salt into the wounds with myself here, but I can only see a cricket score in this one.
Yeah, away win for me. Cove against UCD.
I think this could be a tight one. I know Cove's league season, in all fairness, is probably over. I think they've admitted that themselves. Stephen Henderson said that their playoff hopes are over. They'll be looking to try and get, obviously, the League Cup in the bag, but it's going to be a very difficult task away to Derry.
Maybe some pushing for performances for places,
yeah,
for the final.
Yeah, that's a very valid point, John. So I think, obviously, the pitch down there as well, it's very tight, but UCD have just been ultra consistent this season. I think they'll get the win, but I think it'll be a tight one. I'm going to say 1-0 to UCD, and it could be a late winner at that.
Okay, so we've got lots of away wins so far in the final match. Galway against Longford. I'm going to go for an away win as well. My heart is going to rule my head.
This is another one that I just found extremely difficult to pick. Longford and Galway, they've been tight meetings all through the years, especially this season. So many tight encounters.
Who's going to play up front?
That's a real blow for Longford now. Sam Burden looks as if his injury in the game against Sligo, it's going to cost him a couple of games now. And with only a few games left in the season, you just wonder, can the likes of Jamie Doyle step up? Hasn't really looked up to the mark, but maybe unfair to judge a player so early on in his Longford career when he hasn't played a lot of 90 minutes. But look, I'm going off track here. Going to push myself for a prediction. I know you're going with the heart over the head, but for me, I think Galway season is probably over. Longford know it's win or bust. I think they'll go for it, but they've shown at times this season their defence is quite leaky. I think it's either going to be one of those very cagey drab draws or it's going to be one of those entertaining draws. But either way, I think this is going to be a share of the spoils. And we're going to bring you back-to-back interviews now, folks, before we round up the show. First of all, you will hear from the match winner in the Showgrounds at the weekend, Longford Town midfielder Jamie Hollywood. And then you'll hear from Galway United fan Julian Canny as we discuss the Saudi Arabia proposed takeover deal. And we'll obviously preview that huge game between Longford Town and Galway United at AM&DC Park on Friday night. Okay, folks, so we're joined by the match winner from the Showgrounds is, of course, Longford Town midfielder Jamie Hollywood. Jamie, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks very much for having me, Kieran. Pleasure.
So I wasn't at the game, unfortunately. I was on my way back from Salou, so I'm going to pass this over to John. John, take us through the game in Sligo.
Well, it was a good game, actually. A good end-to-end game. And I think Longford had the better of it. And, you know, that this man, Jamie Hollywood, popped up with a goal. But it was a bit of a bizarre goal. You didn't really connect with it fully, but it seemed to go under. Beanie made a meal of it, didn't he?
Yeah, it was kind of like one of them. I thought it was like a bit of a golf putt, where I've kind of hit it across the goal, and I'm looking at it and I'm saying, right, one of them's going to clear it, and then it's kept going, and I'm like, go on, it has a chance, and it's found itself in the goal, luckily for us.
Yeah,
so, and I was buzzing with that.
Yeah, I think you know, on the balance of the game, I think we fully deserved the win, and I thought Dylan McGlade had a cracking game. He really tortured the Sligo defence all night.
Dylan can do that to any defence when he's on his game. Like, you know, you can even see it in training. Like, you know, when you're one-on-one against him, like, it's hard to get the ball off him. He can chop either direction, like, real quick. Like, but you've seen what he can do, like, especially against Sligo there in the second half, and he gets running at a defender, like, you know, he can turn him inside now very quick. But I thought overall we gave a good account of ourselves. Like, you know, I've seen lads give him wages back and all because it's such a shock defeat. Like, but I kind of, if we played, like, I'd fancy ourselves if we played again this week, like, we'd beat them again, like, you know, that way. So
yeah, I'm pretty much without a recognised striker, because we saw Sam Verdon have to come off. Any update on his injury, Jamie?
I haven't actually. I know that I was talking to him and he said it's not as bad as he thought, but he's going to miss a few games anyway. It's an impact injury, so it's not the worst. But he's waiting on results himself. But he said it's not as bad as he thought. So But it was a big loss to miss him. Like, you know, Sam's he's a good target man, which and you can play balls into his feet. Like, you know, he'll always hold it up for you. So it was a big loss to him. But Peter came on to the job. Like, you know, putting me behind his pace, like, was good.
Yeah, he did well to say it's probably a position that he wouldn't be that used to playing. You know, he's normally used to playing out on the wide and using his pace, but I thought he did okay. But like I say, he must have been grateful for Dylan's run to set up that goal. You know, it's a great run, and he went to the byline, cut back in, and then just laid the ball off to you. And like we say, it was
it's rare you get a pass back off Dylan. So yeah. He does get the byline when he runs out the pitch, like, you know, he runs out of space on the pitch. When he's forced to pass it to you, that's when you get passes off Dylan. So I've got two the last 2 weeks. So if he keeps running to the byline, I might pick himself a few more goals by the end of the season.
And for yourself, Jamie, it must be nice to be getting a run in the side. You know, he didn't play too much for Drogheda the previous season, and you're in and out of the side a bit early in the season, but you seem to be getting a decent run now.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's come from last year was kind of, I learned a lot. Like, you know, gained a good bit of experience from just being in and around like a senior dressing room, and a lot of big players, and I've learned a lot from players that were there, and like Shawnee Brennan and that, like, you know, which it was good, and it was good to take it. But at the end of the day, I kind of wanted to get game time, and as I said before, I was talking to a couple of lads, I wanted to move and get that game time under my belt, and it did take me a while at the start to kind of find my feet, and like I didn't really hit the ground running with college football and stuff. So as soon as I got in now, I'm kind of to get myself a little spot in the team, and I've been playing well, and obviously goals the last couple of weeks have helped. So I've been happy enough though. I've come on. I feel like I can improve. I'm improving my game as the weeks go on, and I'm kind of just looking forward now to the run in the season and hopefully picking up a few points.
And obviously, Jamie, that's wins against both the Rovers clubs, Sligo and Shamrock Rovers, in their own grounds this season in both the EA Sports Cup and the FEI Cup. How important is it for first division players at Longford Town to get a taste of playing in them venues and using that as a drive then for the promotion race this season?
I think you can see it in when we play, we seem to play, I don't know what it is, we build ourselves up, and when we play against the big teams, like we look so much more like the better team. Like we'll never write ourselves off against any team like Rovers, like we always fancy ourselves, and we've picked up points, we smash UCD, big game, we've won that, like, you know, and we seem to play better when we're playing against the bigger teams, when we're playing against teams that may be a bit below us, that we've dropped a few points that are costing us at the moment. Like, but playing in stadiums like that, on pitches like that, suit us. Bit of rain that helped as well, like, you know, keeps the ball zipping. We like to move the ball the way the gaffer wants us to play. Like, it helps us, and you can really see it when we go and play against the bigger teams. You get more time on the ball, it's more expansive, like, that game's end to end, but we felt like we dominated a lot of it, like, you know, and they had their chances, we boiled a look at time, but overall, like, we still fancied ourselves as a better team than them to go get a result, which we did.
Jamie, there's no bigger match than this weekend's match against Galway. We're 4 points off the playoff position, probably five with the weaker goal difference. So is Neil saying it's basically win or bust, this one?
Well, we've been kind of saying that it was win or bust last in the last league game against Athlone. We dropped points there, you're gone again, like, you know. So we said it after the Shells defeat, we said we've six cup finals left, and including the Celtic Cup. Each one we're just taking as it comes, and we're going to have to get a result out of each game, because we do know teams can take points off anyone in the league, but it's not in our hands at the moment. So we need to win, and like we know that, the manager knows that, and we're just taking each game as it comes, as a do or die basis.
Yeah, because we've still got to go to Drogheda as well in the running, so there's still a couple of massive matches.
That's the big one, but as I said, we took that loan. A single game, we've gone. We got a result there. Again, we've taken Sligo. Another cup game, we've got a result, and we're kind of going into this game now again. Do or die. We need a win. There's no messing around now. There's 8 games left. 7 games left. So we're down to the bare bones now with games, and we won't have enough time if we drop any more points.
It's funny, Jamie, you should say that, John, because I was actually writing out my match preview earlier on. I had win or bust in it, and I was just thinking myself, I'm getting sick of writing this every week now at this stage.
But that's the one I said it in the dressing room after the Shells games. We're running out games every time. We said, look, it's do or die here. We're saying at the start of the games, it's do or die. We still feel like we still have a chance, because I know Drogheda have a tough run in. Even the last week when we played at Long Lash, they're a lot better. Last week they're a lot better than when we played them earlier on in the season. we still have faith in other teams taking points off, and people, teams have to play each other. So we are confident that teams will slip up, because we win this week, we can go one point behind Drogheda and still have to play them.
Mm.
So you're looking at them going, look, we can still take them, like, you know, that way. So if we beat them, we got 1 point behind them, so they have to drop a point somehow. So they have to win all the games if they're looking at it like that, you know, that way. So it's all up for grabs at the moment. But as you said, the weeks are running out, football's running out, so there isn't really much room to slip up.
And obviously the main focus is now on this game Friday against Galway and the promotion playoff race, as we just said there. But Shelburne now coming up in the FAI Cup at home. Is there an element of revenge there after that recent result in Tolka and all the controversy that surrounded it?
Look, it's going to be a big game. We felt like we were dead in. We wanted to beat them the last time, because we haven't beat them yet this season, and we wanted to do it. We wanted to do it the last time in Tolka, and look, the way things panned out, we did kind of dominate the game. But again, the way things went, it didn't work out. But it's great, and the lads are buzzing that we've another bite of the cherry, we've another chance to go at them, and do get like an important win, and it'll be an important little boost for, especially for the club, to go and get a win here and get us into a quarter final, like, you know. So we do want it. All the lads are kind of buzzing with the fixture, saying, look, we have another chance to have a go with these and get a win against them, like, you know, especially at home as well. I don't think they didn't like going coming up to us last time, so we definitely fancy ourselves, and we're all looking forward to it.
Well, Jamie, it's been great having you on, but before we let you go, a little birdie tells me that you're not too happy that Section O haven't produced a song for you yet this season.
So, lads, there's new players coming in, there's loads happening, look, I've heard a few chants. Jamie Doyle even got a chant there, and he's only in a couple of weeks. But look, we'll leave that up to yourselves, lads. Once I keep scoring, you might even find a chant the next couple of weeks. Yeah. You're running out games.
Yeah, we'll bring the songbook on Friday and see what we can come up with. But Jamie, thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for that one on Friday. It's certainly a huge game, and I'm sure Longford will bring a big travelling support with them for that one.
I'm sure they will. They've been great all season, lads. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jamie.
Cheers, Jamie.
Go on, all the best.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So it's that time of the year again, folks. We're going to be joined on the line by Mr. Galway United, of course, Julian Canny. Julian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Berko. Thanks for having me on again.
So, Julian, before we discuss the big game at the weekend, obviously Longford Town travelling up to Eamon DC Park in what is, I think, a do-or-die situation for both clubs in terms of the playoff race. It looks like the Saudi deal is not going to go through now at Galway United. Have you any more information on that for us?
Yeah, so I was at the Supporters Trust AGM earlier this month, and just got a bit of an update on it. So I think, like, I suppose the one thing I'd say, when the original deal was done, or as it was voted in, like, at that stage it was just agreed that due diligence would be done and everything on both sides, and so the trust and the fans kind of went away and did that. And essentially what's happened now is all that has been kind of agreed upon. Basically it said, right, these guys, they seem legit anyway, but since kind of doing that, it's just gone very, very dead at their end, essentially. So we're just basically waiting for them to make a move, but it, to be honest, it doesn't really look good. It doesn't sound the best. So I think really plans are being made just for the trust to carry on as was before, and that's just continuing in that vein. Like, it could be something that maybe in the off season the Saudis come back, but I think from all the sounds, it just seems they've kind of decided it's not a project for them really, and that's where we are at the moment.
Strange, isn't it, Julian, you know, that they could come in and look at it and decide, yes, it's something we're going to go for, and then, you know, it just to all dry up and go quiet. I wonder what's strange that the mind should be changed.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, obviously it was strange that it even came about in the first place, but yeah, like, what happened that they went from one thing saying, Jesus, yeah, we'd love to invest, and then all of a sudden they kind of, maybe they just looked at it a bit more and looked at more detail, like, I suppose the prospects of European football, if that's what they were thinking of, or like, I think maybe in the background as well, some of them were involved as player agents, so maybe they were trying to possibly like use Galway United as a way of getting players into Europe and things like that, and then maybe they looked into how easy it would be to get players work permits and things in Ireland. I don't really know, to be honest, but it is quite strange, because at one stage it seemed like they were very keen on it. As I say, now it's just gone very, very quiet from their end. So,
and how will that leave the finances at Galway then? Because we talked earlier in the season, there was talk of, you know, needing more people out and getting lots of fans behind it, or the club could be in financial difficulties. What would be the situation without the Saudi money, Julian?
Yeah, well, like the co-op is going on really well. Like so far, anyway. I know there are not as many members as we'd like signed up at the moment, but I think it is growing, and it's. I suppose people need to see people in Galway need to see what it really means to own a club, and how that everyone should really buy in to that kind of idea. I think like it's probably no secret really that our crowds are probably less than we budgeted for. So in that sense, I think it's not great financially, but at the same time, the club really is being bankrolled by the Comers at the moment. They've put a lot of money, like they're obviously sponsoring the club, and they've kind of put in money to support us in that case. And probably if they were to pull out or decide it wasn't for them, I think there'd probably be kind of serious questions about where the club is going in the future. But to be fair to them, they've been great. And I think, as far as I can see, even when the Saudi deal was kind of talked about, they didn't seem too put out, which, to be fair, they could have been really, if, like, the last few years, they have done a lot for the club. And when all of a sudden we were kind of chasing the Saudi money, it would have been, nearly the Comers would have been forgotten about, but to be fair to them, they seem to accept that and understand that. I suppose they're businessmen anyway, as it is. So
I suppose that's no different than to a lot of League of Ireland clubs, Julian, in the sense you're relying on maybe one or two backers there, and if they ever decide that it's not for them, then the club is always going to face major issues. But let's move on to the big game Friday night. Longford Town travelling up to M&DC Park. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was just saying to you, lad, before the interview officially started, that, like, as far as I see, I think our prospects of getting the playoff are over now. Even if we win all our games, we're 6 points behind Drogheda with just the 4 games to go. Our goal difference is way worse than them. So I don't see that they're only going to get 5 points from the remaining 4 games. So like, I don't know, since Alan Murphy's taken over, we're definitely playing with a lot more confidence. I think in our last 6 games, both Owen McCormack and Conor Barry have scored in 5 of them. So, and like McCormack, I think, is 8 in 7 games. He missed a penalty against UCD in the one game we didn't score in. So we're playing, certainly going forward, we're playing a lot better. We're scoring a lot of goals. Defensively, yeah, we've still got a few issues there. But Alan Murphy, again, he's given a lot of young lads game time. A couple of the under-19s have stepped up now. So like, I think the way we're going to approach it, we're going to obviously be trying to win the game, but we are going to be probably putting an emphasis on attack. So I could see it being a pretty high score, and we drew 2-2 up at Drogheda. So again, like, I know you guys, you're obviously that bit closer to Drogheda in terms of the table, so I think you'd be going all out for a win. A draw probably isn't a whole lot of use to you either. No. So maybe a 2-2 or 3-2 either way. I think there'll be plenty of goals anyway.
And just on that man, McCormack, sensational form. I think he's been a real revelation this season for Galway. But do you feel maybe the absence of Danny Furlong has been one of the major issues in Galway's performances this season?
Yeah, it's a bit strange, really, because McCormack finished last season really well. And I was kind of thinking he's going to take the first division by storm. But then, obviously, we signed Furlong. Furlong got in the team. He got a few goals early on in the season, and then got injured, and McCormack was kind of playing a bit out in the left, out in the wing a bit, and yeah, he kind of struggled to gain his same momentum for the end of last season. But it's only been recently now, the last month or 2 months, that he's really kind of found the form again of last season. So I think probably in some ways, if we actually hadn't signed Danny Furlong and it had just been McCormack playing as a lead striker, it probably could have suited us better. But yeah, I just think we were unfortunate with the way things happened with Furlong, because it was I don't know, it's one of those things. Like he would have been a very decent striker this season, no doubt about that. But then, I suppose, by the time he did start getting back in the team, confidence was way down, and he wasn't even being given that many given chances to score himself in terms of crosses into the box. But I suppose he wouldn't be a player to do a whole lot more other than score a goal, whereas McCormick probably does offer a bit more up front. But it's just been a really disappointing season now. Like, I think if you told me at the start of the season that we wouldn't have been in the playoff mix at least with four games to go, I wouldn't have believed you at all. I thought we were probably at very worst, maybe third, but being where we sixth on the table, it's kind of hard to believe, really.
In that sense, Julian, does a cup run become all the more important? Always drawn at home to Bohemians, you'd like to think a big crowd will turn out for that one, and it was a very comfortable progression in the first round for Galway.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I wasn't at the game now, but following on Twitter, it sounded like North End had all the chances in the first half, and we just scored four goals, which sounds crazy, but I don't know. I was very worried we'd actually lose that game, so... And getting a home draw against Bowes, to be honest, it's probably the best possible draw we could have gotten, because Bowes would bring a big crowd. Like, they're not really going anywhere in the league, so you know they'll have 250 lads down for the weekend in Galway. Again, it's attractive to the Galway public, so I'd be expecting about 1,600-1,700 at the game, and we're not without a chance of winning the match either. Like, I think Bowes have kind of sucked, very inconsistent, I suppose, but like they've suffered some bad defeats this season. I think Sligo beat them 3-0 in Dalymount there earlier this month, or towards the end of last month anyway. So like, there is a chance of winning a game, and like, if we did get a big crowd out and managed to beat Bowes at home, then it kind of gives the whole club a boost, really. Like, even though it's not going to kick us on to make a playoff spot, whatever happens, I think it would just kind of give a bit of a boost the club. Like, you look at everything else that's going on in Galway, like the hurlers in the All-Ireland final, the footballers got to the All-Ireland semi, and obviously Connacht Rugby's on a bit of a roll at the moment in terms of their sport, and like, Galway United is really kind of at a low ebb now, so something like that would be brilliant. Win that and into a cup quarter final, then it'd be fantastic for us. But
well, Julian, unfortunately, we've already wished Tim Clancy that we'll see him in the final, so we can't wish that for yourself as well. But we want to thank you very much for joining us on the show once again, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Yeah, same to you, and best of luck on Friday, and I hope it's a good game for you.
Yeah, may the best team win. Good luck. Thanks, Julian.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So folks, that's been another excellent edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Before we go tonight, I really want to emphasise this to all of our listeners. We are finally now on SoundCloud, as I said at the start of the show. It's been something a lot of you have been crying out for a long time. So what we really want to see now is as many of you giving that SoundCloud account a subscription. So go to soundcloud.com/between the stripes and you'll find us there, or you'll find the link on our Facebook and our Twitter on a consistent basis. So as I said, we really, really do want people to subscribe to that and follow the podcast and listen to it on a weekly basis via SoundCloud. If that's not your preferred option, we're now on Spotify and TuneIn Radio, which is a fantastic platform to be on because it gives us a global reach. And I was just looking at the stats last week, John, and we are getting listeners from all over the world. It's quite incredible, really. So thank you to everyone that's tuning in and helping spread the message of the greatest league in the world. But we're still on all our other usual platforms, the likes of Audioboom, iTunes, which is obviously a big one. We'd love to see more subscribers there and as many reviews as possible. In terms of our sponsors, we have to thank them as always. We wouldn't be here without them. Flomax.ie are our main title sponsors here this season at Between the Stripes. Diageo.ie are the creators of our website, BetweenTheStripes.ie. Make sure you check that out, as you can access this very podcast through that website as well as see our latest articles. And to St. Mel's Brewery, who sponsored the St. Mel's Brewery Prediction Game. And finally, of course, to Lochree's Pharmacy in Drumlish here, who allow us their fine facilities every week to put together this show. I want to thank John again for joining me this week. Thanks to all our guests. And as I said, get hitting the subscribe button on that SoundCloud account, and please share the link to this show as much as you possibly can on your social media accounts, as it really does help spread the name of Between the Stripes and get more people interested in the League of Ireland. Make sure you get out to a game this weekend, folks. Enjoy it, and we'll be back again next week with as many big interviews as possible. Thanks for joining us, and speak to you again next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.